Welcome to Highly Questionable. I'm Israel Gutierrez. That's Pablo Torre and Clinton Yates. Full disclosure here, Clinton wanted to make this a tank top Tuesday, but I said, no, that would be unfair to everybody else. Not because of my physique, but because this is the tank top I was going to wear and it was going to be way too distracting for you guys. You're welcome. Let's do a show.
Did the Hawks do Lloyd Pierce dirty?
Well, the Atlanta Hawks fired Lloyd Pierce in his third season after starting off 14-20 in sort of a middling Eastern Conference where they still had a chance. And around the league, this sort of got a greater reaction than most NBA firings, in large part because Lloyd was largely respected and people wondered how somebody with those types of people skills wouldn't be able to make a team work, or the organization wouldn't have patience with somebody with that type of people skills to allow him to grow with his team. The other part about the question marks is this Atlanta Hawks team made a lot of moves in the offseason. They got Danilo Gallinari, they got Bogdan Bogdanovic, and the idea was, hey, this is supposed to leapfrog us into the playoffs. This team has been hurt all season long. They have not had a chance to look like the team they're supposed to look like, and yet here Pierce takes the L. I think what's really interesting with this becomes sort of a subject of, is Trae Young a coachable superstar? Is he the guy that you want with the ball in his hands in the scoring situations pretty much at all times? And right now, Lloyd was not able to create an offense around Trae Young. And if you look at the splits between his wins and losses, if you just look at some of his numbers in general, it makes you wonder, hey, was this a Trae Young thing or was this a Lloyd Pierce thing? And I think in the years to come, Pablo, we're going to find out that answer.
Yeah, we will, I think. But in the present tense, I look right to the top, Izzy, and I say, okay, what do we know about the owner of the Hawks, Tony Ressler? And we know quite a bit. He is the guy who was one of the heads of Apollo Global Management, one of these private equity giant funds. He is a guy who is very impatient and very hands-on. He's known to send his GM, Travis Schlenk, texts and calls multiple times per day. He's also the guy who, yes, to his credit, one might argue, wanted to spend about $160 million on Danilo Gallinari, as you said, Izzy, but also Rajon Rondo and Bogdan Bogdanovic and Chris Dunn. It is notable in those names that none of you should be impressed by hearing those names because, yeah. A, they're not that great acquisitions, and also they haven't really played. Chris Dunn has played zero games. The Hawks, in fact, have missed the most man games in terms of individuals losing games to injury, second only to the Orlando Magic. So to me, you have a coach who was given a mandate to get to the playoffs right now. He was given a team that was malformed from the jump, and now he's paying the price for the ambition of other people. And so that does feel like doing somebody dirty to me.
They absolutely did him dirty. And one person whose reaction I'm going to take a cue from is Dwayne Wade. A couple days ago when this was said, Dwayne showed up said on TV, I don't want to talk about this. He was so upset about it. Kind of like when your parents are like, we're going to talk about this when we get home because I'm so mad about this in public that I don't want to let the people know what I actually feel about it. He ended up talking about it in terms of the discrimination that a lot of coaches get around the league for, you know, just not being perfect. And that to me signaled as much as anything from certain guys as to how respected he was. Also, this is something that, pardon me, the late, great John Thompson talked about a lot, which is black coaches and their inability to be able to fail. Listen. The Hawks and their aspirations, he should have been allowed to, at the very least, finish this season, Lloyd. I would think, from a simple respect standpoint of a grown man who's been around the league for a long time. And the third thing that makes this so incredibly harrowing, Lloyd played in college with a human named Steve Nash, okay? Steve Nash, who walked right out of the Chelsea indoor fields playing soccer and straight onto the bench for the Brooklyn Nets, and he still got a job in one of the most high-profile franchises in the league. Lloyd, however, who's been toiling in the league for a while, gets thrown out on the first rail because the Hawks can't make it above, you know, over whatever record the owner thought they should have.
And it's also not simply what kind of treatment does a black head coach get towards the end of the line? It's also what kind of jobs are they getting in the first place? Because this is a rebuilding job. That's how it was billed. That's how it should be perceived. And when you talk to Lloyd Pierce and you ask him, as he has been in the last couple of months, when did you feel like you were on the hot seat? He's very clear-eyed about this. He said, I felt it on the first day I got this job.
Has James Harden passed LeBron and Pablo's sweet little beloved Joel Embiid in the MVP race?
So this is clearly a trolling question just to mess with Pablo here. To me, Nikola Jokic, LeBron James, and Joel Embiid are the top three of the MVP candidates. However, James Harden went out there and threw out a 30-point, 15-assist, zero-turnover night, which was only done, I believe, three other times since 1985. And the question becomes, hey, is this guy, which is crazy, he's the most steadying force on the Brooklyn Nets when he made a mess of his previous franchise, is this guy coming in here because he doesn't have to score 36 points a game and just showing off his MVP-like skills, giving you 11 assists here, 7.7 rebounds there? I'm going to put a pin in that one for a second, okay? 7.7 rebounds. Think about that. But is James Harden an MVP candidate? Me, I say no. I feel like he's taking advantage of his situation right now, and by the end of the season, you'll see the other sort of rise to the top. But Clinton, are we trolling with the conversation, or is an MVP like James Harden, hey, worthy of MVP talk?
If we weren't trolling, we wouldn't be giving James Harden his proper due. We're talking about a man that decided to blow off a franchise, attend a birthday party with select dancers and, you know, family and friends, then decided he wanted to wear a fat suit in order to make himself look undesirable to anybody who might be looking at him. And as soon as he got traded, boom, slimmed down. It was glorious. We are absolutely trolling, and this is why we need James Harden to win the MVP. He is every bit of the modern NBA player, and I am entirely here for it. Ball hog who's willing to mislead people, who makes more money than God, but he still, at the end of the day, is the best player on the court at all times. Yes, he is absolutely my MVP, if not my professional idol at this point.
Yeah, I don't want to be a real stick in the mud here, but I do believe in Clinton's fat suit theory. I actually legitimately think that's what happened. And I do feel like if you wore a fat suit to get out of your previous team, you can't win MVP with your next one. Call me again, like, you know, an old man yelling at clouds, but that's how I feel about the situation. But also, yes, of course this is trolling. Have you guys seen what Joel Embiid is doing right now? Because you look at James Harden, right, and you're like, man, that guy is such an efficient scorer. Well, you know who has a higher field goal percentage than James Harden? Joel Embiid. You know who's shooting better from three than James Harden by percentage? Joel Embiid. You know who's shooting the exact same 86% from the free throw line? Spoiler alert, also Joel Embiid. What Joel Embiid is doing, averaging 30, and Izzy wanted to put a pin on 7 rebounds, I believe. Well, let's pull that pin out of the board, because Joel Embiid has 11 per game, plus 3 assists or so, plus some blocks, plus some steals, plus he's on the best team in the Eastern Conference by record. So I don't know what else you need Joel Embiid to do at 7-foot-something, 300-something pounds, but he is not wearing a fat suit, and he is awesome.
Yeah, do it in the playoffs. That's what we need to do. So here's the thing. James Harden's 7.7 rebounds. That is mind-blowing to me when you think about, do you think of James Harden as this athletic dude that's just running all and jumping all over the court?
He's good.
Do you know who 7.7 rebounds is more than? It's more than Zion Williamson. Like, I don't even know if this is giving credit to James Harden or not credit to James Harden, saying he's taking away, like, cheap rebounds. But how do you average 7.7 rebounds when you look like you play, like, in mud? He looks like a stick in the mud sometimes when he's playing, and he's averaging that many rebounds. That, to me, is absolutely mind-boggling.
Hey, Izzy, doesn't Harden also need to do it in the playoffs?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. Good Dang point. It. Unbiased producer voice that normally trolls me exclusively, but is now coming to my defense.
But he already has an MVP, so does that count for anything?
Up next on HQ.
We take you to Russia.
Oh, boy.
Oh, oh dear.
It looked like the jump ball was an act of blatant violence.
What happened to those guys that guy's pointing to? They're like off camera right now committing extreme violence,
so,
for the record.
So this is handball plus wrestling plus a medicine ball to start with.
Do you question if Joel Embiid respects Miles Turner?
Well, there's a couple of words that I believe all athletes, mostly NBA players, but a lot of athletes need to sort of rediscover and sort of redefine, or just look it up. One of them is humble. I don't think they know how to use that word properly. And the other one apparently is respect, because here is Joel Embiid giving respect to Miles Turner, but not so much.
He's a great player, and I have a lot of respect form, but I say this respectfully, but that's a matchup that I've dominated my whole since I got to the league.
I mean, look, if I were to say that about Pablo Torre, that I dominated all around the horn matchups ever since he got into the league, would it be factual? Of course it would be factual, but would it be rude? Yes, it would be rude, so I wouldn't say such a thing on television.
I just want to point out, Joel Embiid is doing his best to not be the version of himself that people like you, Izzy, people like you hate. He's being nice. He is overflowing with deference. He's pointing out that Miles Turner is a candidate for Defensive Player of the Year. All he's simply pointing out is the truth, that Miles Turner is also a fly on the bottom of Joel Embiid's shoe. He can't say that, but I can say it. And therefore, Joel Embiid is being quite respectful, yes.
I'm also willing to believe that Embiid is young enough that all of the NBA like boilerplate footage he saw coming up includes the phrase, "I've got a lot of respect for that guy." So it doesn't really mean a ton when it comes out of his mouth. It's just kind of one of those things you say because you're on a podium and you're used to talking about opponents that way. When in reality, there's sort of a, not exactly lost in translation, but he's just trying to be nice about the fact that he does not take this guy very seriously. He respects him as a human being. It's 2021. We all have agency. But when it comes down to on the court, he ain't worried about that dude whatsoever. And he doesn't need to cuss or be loud about it. By the way, he has great shape up too. So his barber is getting tough.
It does feel a little bit like The Last Dance, but it's just happening currently within his career. Joel Embiid, like Michael Jordan, is just pointing out, hey, I'm so much better than that guy, and I took it personally, but he's just doing it live in real time.
Do you question if Dan Campbell is right about alphas?
I mean, going into a Dan Campbell conversation has to start with a bunch of giggles, but I have to say, do you have that one friend who will never admit he or she is wrong? And like, it doesn't matter if it was proven that he or she was wrong, they'll come back with some sort of counter argument. Here is, fittingly, Dan Campbell being your most annoying friend after being asked, hey, who makes the final decision between you and the GM?
What happens when you and Brad are maybe in a disagreement on a player? Who has that final decision, whether it's free agency or draft?
Good question.
That's been clear.
Yeah, Brad and I do.
Okay, so but again, what happens if you don't agree?
Well, here's what I would say. I kind of brought this up at the very, this is weeks ago, but here's what I'd say about a true alpha. A true alpha knows when it's time to concede for the betterment of the team.
What? First of all, he looks very much like Ben Roethlisberger. I was very confused for a second. I thought that was Ben Roethlisberger coaching the Lions. But if a true alpha knows when to concede, so if they go 0-16, but they just kneel down the last three downs and they just sort of give up, does that mean that they've won every time?
Izzy, I
mean, this guy's already starting this way. It's just very, very frustrating.
Izzy, what don't you understand? A true alpha knows when it's time to be a beta. Everybody knows this.
I'm so upset you brought up Ben, because Ben and I went to college together, and that dude is dressed like we would be going to an OAR concert circa early 2000s. T-shirt under a t-shirt.
Whoa, hold on.
HQ investigation, please. I had all sorts of jokes about cannibalism and maniacs and cosplaying those things. But wait, you went to an OAR concert with Ben Roethlisberger?
No, I didn't go to an OAR concert with Ben Roethlisberger. We went to the same college, and they play a lot at our school. My point is that look, long sleeve t-shirt underneath regular t-shirt is I listened to music when I was in high school in the 90s. That's what that means. Like, look at that look. I'm stunned he's going with such a plain setup for a guy who's so into, I don't know, munching kneecaps and whatever other alpha nonsense he looks into. That looks like he should be in the remake of High Fidelity, which, by the way, was a great show.
So you can't be sure that you weren't at an OAR concert with Ben Roethlisberger.
You can't be sure that you weren't in one crazy game of poker with Ben Roethlisberger. That is an OAR reference. I am so sorry.
Clinton, also, you are literally wearing a hoodie t-shirt.
Right? First of all, this is a different look. Do not try to lump these two things in together. This is a t-shirt, hoodie, underneath a jersey because you all wouldn't let me show my real self, Black Skin Matters, on this show. Do not at me.
Two peas in pod.
Do you question if Russia found a way to make basketball better?
It's not often we learn about new sports in this game, but we will now find out about a sport called reg ball, which apparently the only rule is that you cannot, what was it? No acts of blatant violence. That's the only rule. No acts of blatant violence. Ladies and gentlemen, we take you to Russia.
Oh, boy.
Oh,
dear.
It looked like the jump ball was an act of blatant violence.
What happened to those guys that guy's pointing to? They're like off camera right now committing extreme violence,
so,
for the record.
So this is handball plus wrestling plus a medicine ball to start with.
But there's clearly you're only so allowed to contact. Those guys are just hugging under the basket. Those guys are just hugging under the basket, having a nice little time. What else is going on?
Where does the hoop come into play here?
Yeah!
Oh, shot!
Oh!
Wow.
Is that a pass?
Do you get points for, like, tipping?
So no dribbling is required is what I'm gathering. Okay, but that guy's doing that. Whoa.
Now I understand why the singlets are necessary.
When they showed up in the singlets, I was like, oh, there's going to be some extreme violence.
Why do they have numbers, though?
Nobody's one guy had number 99. Can we replay this video?
Can we just look at the flagrant foul on that layup attempt? You would be suspended 8 games in the league if you did that this year.
Also, look at the people underneath the far basket. There are actually humans not participating in this game there to watch and applaud. That's amazing.
Man. Look, I don't want to go too far, but this might be the most popular sport in the U.S. if we just bring it over.
Yeah, somewhere slam ball. Somewhere slam ball is shook.
Tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern, Grizzlies and Wizards.
Well, we already trolled Pablo on his team earlier, the 76ers. I like to not announce my allegiances so that I cannot be trolled this way.
Sure.
We will instead troll Clinton Yates and his Washington Wizards, who I believe did at the end of this game what Bradley Beal called the goofiest bleep I've ever seen. They're down 3. Jason Tatum bucket. Then on the inbound, it looks like Russell Westbrook wants no part of this basketball. That leads to a Washington turnover. And then there's this other ridiculously great Jason Tatum basket. All of a sudden, Celtics are up 1. Wizards lose. Kind of their thing.
Listen, I don't even call this team by their proper name anymore. They are the Washington basketball team, as far as I'm concerned, at this stage. If you want to know why, you can go check my work on the Undefeated. Secondarily, Bradley Emmanuel Beal, as he's known in our household, is exactly right. Because every time he goes for 40-plus, guess what? They lose. People are texting me, oh, Brad's getting hot tonight. Brad's heating up. You see Brad doing this, you see Brad doing that. I'm like, y'all know what that means. It means L. And it happened again against Boston, so I feel for him. He's the only thing worth doing. Tonight, though, I'm tuning in for my man, Ja Morant.
Pablo, are you intrigued?
I am intrigued. I just don't like how Clinton tried to pivot to Ja Morant there at the very end when I really do want to talk about Bradley Emmanuel Beal, who did have 46 points in that loss on 29 shots and is incredible. And somehow, Clinton, somehow is not demanding a trade yet. I don't understand. Bradley Beal, if you're out there, there are other places you can go. I don't know why you haven't yelled about this on television as I am yelling at you about not yelling about this on television.
Tonight on ESPN, number 4, Illinois at number 2, Michigan.
So yesterday, full disclosure, I was very much confused because North Dakota State, I guess, over the weekend lost a football winning streak. And I'm like, we're playing football in March? This Illinois, Michigan in college basketball feels a lot more like March. Whoever's posting. Pumping. Thompson with the block. Mm-hmm. 7 to shoot. Inside. Dickinson. Catch. Hey.
Hey.
Is that a dunk?
I don't know who that player is, but.
That was a throw-in. That's what that was. So, listen, my question, every time I see one of these old courts now, considering the way the NBA looks, I just think every time, when are they going to change the way some of these archaic courts look in college basketball? Indiana's up there. North Carolina's up there. Update your parquets, y'all. I'm tired of looking at these things like they're from
North Carolina does not need to update their floor. And you got to be careful, because if you do too much floor updating, you get a bunch of Oregon floors where it looked like somebody pooped all over the outside of it. Pablo, are you intrigued?
I like how we totally ignored the basketball and went straight for the architecture. I will not do that. I will simply point out that Joel Embiid watched that clip of that 7'2 dude, Dickerson, dunking and said to himself, I hope to God I play him in the NBA.
Wow. College basketball memories.
What year,
huh, guys?
What year was that?
2005. It was Chris Paul's last game. Chris Paul's last game. He fouled out of that game. It was a double overtime game.
Chris Paul. I remember I called my friend, went to high school with Chris Paul, like, again, super drunk on a balcony, just yelling at her, you got pizza knuckles.
Super drunk on a balcony, yelling at somebody after a game. That's my whole college experience. My God.
Oh man, so many memories.
All the time we have for today. Pablo, Choi, Clinton Yates, we all have other responsibilities, but we're just going to spend the rest of the day remembering old college basketball memories.
Thank you. Yeah.
We'll catch you next Tuesday.
Time. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.